Beautiful, beautiful song, and I hope that it's a good way to start a missions conference. That's what we need to do. We're in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we need to bow the knee to Him and yield to Him. You know, God may call you to be a missionary. God may already be speaking to you about being a missionary. Just really, He's spoken to all of us about just bowing the knee and saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And that includes our wallets, that includes our time, that includes everything. And I hope you will just bow your knee, and we'll all do that this week as we consider missions, as we consider certainly foreign fields, but our own mission field right here in Adrian, Michigan. And I was so excited when I talked to Brother Bowman and found out that he could be with us this one day. He won't be here all week, but he can be with us this one day. And he is loved by this church. He and his whole family, they've had such an impact on this church. And, of course, Brother Bowman graduated from Berean Baptist Academy back in 1988 and went on to college, went on to the mission field, and has done just a fantastic work in Africa. And he is the assistant director for Africa for BIMI. And we're so proud of him and so proud of his family. Brother Bowman, you come.
Well, thank you so much, and I truly feel loved by this church, and more so, you folks sure are loved by our family. And I thank you so much for all the things that you folks have invested in our life, in our ministry, and even going back years ago, back in, I believe, 85, 86, when we first arrived, and all the investment that was placed in me by many of you. I'm looking at many of my high school teachers still here, praise the Lord, and looking at some of the youth leaders that we had, looking at friends that so much that we've had through the years, and we thank you so much for that. I bring you also greetings from my parents. As I mentioned in Sunday school, my mom and dad started going through different special people to say thank you for, and then finally they says, you know, well, you just better say thank you to everybody from the pulpit. And so we just wanted to say thank you for you folks for 17 years, they said, of wonderful memories and ministry here at Berean. And they love you folks very much. And of course, they're excited about what God is doing still with them and their ministry there in Douglasville, Georgia. And praising the Lord for that. But there's still a lot of memories here and a lot of ties in with you folks here. And they wanted me to give their love to you here publicly. And I'll try to do so individually too. And trying to remember everybody and trying to remember everyone's faces. Of course, we haven't changed at all, and of course, you haven't either. And so we can just acknowledge that, and we'll remember everybody. I'd like to open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. Open your Bibles now to Luke chapter 12. You know, at the beginning of a mission conference time, I believe it's a wonderful time to reevaluate. Here at Berean, I know your heart. Missions Conference is one of the biggest weeks of this entire church calendar year. You folks give of yourself, you give of your time, you give of your resources so much. This is a big week. And I want you even more so to consider this week as a week that you always reevaluate everything in your life. This is a time when we can look at what we've done now through your life in ministry, your personal ministry, for we are all called as missionaries. There is no difference between your call and mine except geography. Amen? We need to reevaluate what God has done in our personal call, in our personal life in ministry, and reevaluate our own personal faithfulness and what God has been able to do and continues to do, and then what God wants to do in the future. It's a good time of reevaluation. Then, I believe it's a good time to resurrender. Many of us have surrendered to God at some point. All of us have spent some time here at the altar at some point. Either you were saved in this church, you've spent some time here at this altar making key decisions in your life, Many of you have surrendered to God. But remember, we are supposed to be living sacrifices. The problem is with being a living sacrifice is many times we can get up off that altar, can't we? And we can no longer be surrendered. We need to make sure we reevaluate even our own personal surrender to God and to His will. And then on top of that, we need to make sure that we recommit for the future. God, what do you have for me to do now? We look at so much what this church has done. What this church, I mean, Brother Rogers mentioned about our little mission field here in Adrian. Look at the big mission field Adrian has had an influence in. Woo! You think of the influence right now. You think of there in Africa, we've already had church. But right now, you have helped us to establish 22 churches there in East Africa. They've all had church this morning. Why? Because of you. Some other churches are going on right now, different parts of the world. Some will be here in the next few hours. But it's all part of the ministry of Berean Baptist Church. Now we need to, always at a mission conference time, reevaluate, resurrender, and we need to recommit. And on that last point, I want to look at a parable that has spoke recently to my heart. Some things that the Lord has spoken to me, and I hope will be a blessing to you. Let's look now, Luke chapter 12, and we'll all stand out of honor and respect for the Word of God as we read, beginning in verse number 13. Luke chapter 12, follow with me as I read now in verse number 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he speaks in a spiritual lesson now. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto him, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God spoke to me out of this parable, even things in my own life here. I'd like to speak with you this morning on the man that God called a fool. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray you would help us this morning. I'm speaking now to a congregation full of people that are committed, that love you, that do indeed sacrifice. But Father, help us in no way ever to be found foolish in thy sight. Help us now, Spirit of God, as now I speak, fill me now, Father, and help those that hear to be filled with Spirit-filled ears, that we may hear exactly what you have for us this morning. We love you, Father. Work through our hearts and lives. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two types of people that Christ, who a man of love, a man who gave, a man who did great, went about doing good, the Bible says. But there are two types of people that he spoke very harshly towards. And one, of course, was the religious hypocrites of his day. People that would live a life of false pretenses, give a false impression that they were spiritual when indeed they were not. And he spoke very harshly toward them. Also, he had many parables that spoke harshly toward another group, and those were those people who squandered the Father's resources. We see it many different parables where Christ tells us that he has given us, God the Father has given us certain things in life, and it is our responsibility as a steward of those resources to do God's will with them. He gives us another parable in this passage. Speaks very, very harshly and calls this man a fool. And let's take a look at some of the foolish things that this man exhibited in his life. First of all, we see there, as we read there, is that he reasoned within himself. Verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? You know, we as human beings can easily reason within ourselves, and we can very easily excuse many of the things that we do. It's amazing how our mind can do that. This man, though, did not seek counsel from God, nor did he seek godly counsel from others. He immediately began to reason within himself. He received an abundance. Now, what he's going to do? Instead of searching for a spiritual answer, he reasons within his natural self. And whenever we get to that point, we must take heed. The Bible says that we should not lean unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Furthermore, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I'll read it quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, verse 14, it says there, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need to be careful. Our natural man, who is still there inside us, always warring against the Spirit, our natural man receiveth, or welcomes not, in other words, the Spirit of God, the things of God. This man made a very tragic mistake right at the beginning as he sees the abundance that, by the way, God gave him. He begins to reason then within himself. The natural man, which welcomes not the things of God, and be able to make wrong decisions and therefore wrong conclusions. We need to be careful that we do not lean to our own understanding. Secondly, we see a very foolish thing this man made is that he regarded his possessions as his own. Look at all the different pronouns we have there. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will tear down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And he went on and on. The pronouns, possessive pronouns. These are all my goods, all my possessions. Oh, we need to be reminded we have nothing. We don't even have the next breath in our lungs. If it was not for a loving God of grace that gives it to us. Our heart will never beat the next beat if it was not for God allowing it to beat.
The wonderful grace of God that we so easily and so lightheartedly take advantage of and take for granted of. We put so many of the personal pronouns in our life. This is my house. These are my possessions. This is my vehicle. This is what I have done. This is the work of my hand. Oh, we need to be careful. We have nothing. This man made a very foolish assumption that all his possessions, all of the blessings that God gave him, were his. Next, we see that he refused to give God thanks for God's blessings. Interesting, in Romans 1, where the Bible gives us a description of a reprobate mind, people that have turned completely away from God to the point where God says he has given them up to a reprobate mind. And one of the descriptions of that type of person was that simply was they were unthankful. Of course, there's a long list of other things, but one of the things in there is that they were unthankful. Interesting that God does place a very high priority on us to be thankful. Sometimes he has to remove the blessings from our lives simply because that he doesn't see a very thankful heart, a very grateful heart. And he says, okay, now we'll see how you can do it on your own and on your resources, and we'll see how well you do. And we don't do very good on those, do we? Oh, no. We have to realize that we need God at every point in our life. We need him and his blessings at all times. There's never a day that goes by that we can live that day in our flesh and in our own strength and in our own power. It must be within the power of the Holy Spirit. Must be all the time. But this man made a very foolish assumption. He reasoned within himself, look at the bounty that God gave him as his own. Never do we see he looked to heaven and gave God the thanks. That's a very dangerous place for us to arrive as a Christian, is to arrive at a place where we are unthankful to him. As mentioned in the Sunday school hour about the faithfulness of God. Oh, that theme has reverberated through my life so many times. I remember even in college, my first year, struggling, trying to help with the adjustment, trying to be able to, as I worked a job, paying my way through school, getting things done. I remember faithfulness of God made such an important part of me. I had that listed on all of my notebooks. I needed to be reminded that God was faithful. Because there's so many times I would get discouraged. I'm not going to get through with this. There's no way I'm going to pass this class. There's no way I can work this next shift. There's no way I can do it. And I was always reminded when I looked down, God is faithful, and God truly is faithful, whether you write it down or not. He is, and he is in your life just as much as in my life, just like as he is in the lives of our African Christians there in Africa. He is faithful, and he's just. Oh, we need to realize all the blessings he's given to us and be truly thankful. We see another foolish thing. Oh my. Is that he relied upon his material possessions for his security. Oh, I'm going to tear down these barns. I'm going to build even greater. Oh, this is going to be great. I've got a wonderful program already set up. How many people have thought that before the last crunch here? Had a wonderful nest egg set by, had a wonderful portfolios and all of that, and all of a sudden God has to come in and shake us up sometimes, doesn't he? And it causes us all to step back and say, who do we rely on? Who do we trust? Where do these possessions, where do they belong? In whose hands can we trust them in? Oh, we should never look at our material possessions as our security. Don't focus on your retirement. Don't worry about it. Chances are when you need it, it's not going to be there. But you know what? God is still faithful. God has been so true in so many ways to our life and our family's life. There's no way that I can be able to be untrusting to His care. The life of faith is one of the most exciting lives to lead. I could wish every one of you would live such a life. One that you totally rely on Him for everything that you have and do. And there's no trust in the arm of flesh. No trust in numbers at the bottom of a line. The only security that you have is the salvation that you hold. That you trusted, by the way, you don't hold it, God holds it. Amen. Salvation that's in your heart, in the hands of God. But he looked at to his these possessions for his security. And God says, thou fool. Next thing here we see is that he reckoned that the greatest joy in his life was sensual pleasure. He says, now I've got everything set up. Now what am I going to do? I will say to my soul, what? Eat, drink, and be merry. That was the ultimate goal. That was the climax. Now I've arrived. Oh no. The ultimate goal of the Christian is not the worldly pleasure, for we are only pilgrims passing through. Amen. This world is not our home, nor should we ever become comfortable inside it. Whenever we start to get too comfortable, we need to be a little bit cautious. But God looked at him. And he looked at all the blessings that he bestowed on this person. What did he do? He reasons within himself, within his own natural man that receiveth not the things of God. He regarded all the blessings of God that he given as in his own personal possession. And by the way, let me say, and I teach our men this in Africa, that our occupation is simply the means God has given us to do His will. That's it. If God gives you an ability to climb up the corporate ladder in your business, whatever it may be, praise the Lord. But that is simply a means to complete the will of God. God has given you a will to do. It may not be going to Africa. It may be to be a faithful teacher here. It may be to be a faithful church member that's active in his church. It may be to be a person who supports this preacher, supports the deacons, does everything he could to be able to help the advancement of the gospel to go on out from Adrian to the far corners of the earth. Amen. That may be just God's will for you, but it also may be else. He may have the will, the call of God on your life. He may have placed it within your breast to go and to proclaim His message regularly, daily. He's given that to you. So many times, we disregard that call. We look at the occupations that we have. This is my life. This is who I am. No, our identification is in Christ. The occupation gives us the ability to do what Christ calls us to do. These possessions are not our own. We need to continue to surrender those things. Even not only just to surrender our own lives, but to surrender our own children. As I talk with youth leaders, and as I have been with in several mission conferences since I've been back on this furlough, I've had several of them remark to me, "Brother Bowman, one of our hardest things with dealing with young people is not their heart being surrendered, not them being willing to do something for God. It's the parents not wanting them to." Just this last conference I preached this past week in Kentucky, I noticed on one corner of the auditorium a very large group coming in, and there was weeping and there was excitement, and oh, you could tell a big decision was being made. I thought, this is something incredible. Praise the Lord. Perhaps we have another missionary to Africa. Perhaps there's someone else who can go. I went forward later and talked with the parents there. It was a young person that was kneeling with them. What was the big decision? The mother had finally, get this, isn't it? The mother had finally consented to allow her son to go to Bible school. That was the ultimate in surrender in her life. Oh my, I thought we were past that. We should be excited that God has called one of our own to be able to serve Him. But you know what she had told him for several years? No, you can't go to Bible college, even though you feel called of God to preach. I want you to go to a state university and get a real degree first. Oh my, can you imagine the frustration in that young person's heart? Here he wants to serve God. His heart is on fire for God. Wanting to be able to preach. But his own parents said no. Oh, I thank God for the godly parents I had. Oh, never at one time did they discourage me to do God's will for me. Even though in their heart they have told me many times they had fear. They had no idea what God was going to do. Going to Africa, you're so young. You have a little baby. What are you going to do? What's going to happen? That's our first grandbaby you're taking. Don't you understand? You're special. The baby's special. But we don't want them to go. But they had to release that. You see, it's more than just the surrender of the individual to serve God. It's the surrender of the entire family. Sometimes we need to surrender our children. We may need some parents to come forward and say, "God, you got them if you want them." May this conference be a time when you can re-surrender that and recommit. For even our children are not our own. No. They've been blessed with us for a short while. And then as a mighty man, we can be able to use them as the arrows. What a great message I heard many years ago on that. To be able to be sent out. To fulfill God's great message. Far from where the parents are, the outer reaches of the world. Will you allow that? Our children, our material possessions are not our own. We need to be careful of this worldly philosophy that we have even creeping in the church. Of all of our material possessions, the ultimate joy is this: eat, drink, and be merry. How many times our conversation is simply consumed in just that? What our entertainment is. What the ball team is doing. What's going on? What's happening in your life in this little area and all of this? But it has nothing to do about the call of God and what God has for you to do, what ministry God has for you to accomplish. Oh, God looks at this man and he says, "You're a fool. All those things aren't yours." Next, we see that he rejected the fact of imminent death. Didn't even dawn on him that that night his soul was going to be required. Many times that is so far away from our mind, isn't it? That's the one thing that the mission field has helped to teach me. We see so many people pass on. There are certain stages in our ministry there where I continually had a funeral sermon in the back of my Bible. Because there were so many going. And we would be asked to preach funerals for other people that weren't even connected with our church. Can you please come? Culturally, it's very important for them to have someone to pray over their dead. And oh, how many times we have won many families to Christ at the graveside. One of our churches was actually started as a result of a funeral. But this person did not realize there was going to be a time within a few hours of him making such a foolish decision that his soul was going to be required. And God says, then, whose shall those things be? Oh, we must realize at any point, our soul may be required. My friend, if you're here and you are not a child of God, even more so, I plead with you to realize that we have no promise of tomorrow. At any point, our soul may be required at the hand of God. What is something to be thought? The wonderful thought that at one point, we'll have to be face to face with him. And all things will be made known. Oh, may we realize there is imminent death in this person's life. He did not realize it. And because of his foolish decisions and not even acknowledging the fact that he may face his God that night, God says, "You're a fool." And even lastly, we don't have the end of the story, but we can almost assume through this that the last thing is that this man remained unprepared to meet God. So in this parable, God, through Christ, is lashing out at some people that he is very harsh towards. Those that, number one, were religious hypocrites. Oh, and I know all of your hearts. Many, I know you so much. I don't believe there's any of them here. But then there's another group, that people that perhaps have not been frugal with the resources God's given to them. Maybe you just simply, you've tried to do what you've best, but you have not realized that these possessions are not mine. You start to have that mindset and you'll look at things a whole lot differently. Start making wise purchases for the future because you want to be able to do what's right, because God may be coming and you want to make sure all your resources are freed up to be able to do the will that God has for you to do. Has there been some reasoning among yourself a little bit? Have you been truly thankful as a Christian? Are you looking to it for your security? Looking at your portfolio and says, oh, maybe it's not doing good, but oh, it's going to come back around. I'll be set. Soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, those sensual pleasures are not for the Christian to enjoy. We'll have all eternity in heaven to enjoy the pleasures of God. Do you acknowledge the fact that you could be face to face with your Savior? Do you realize that? And those of you maybe who are in this room who are unsaved, do you realize you could come face to face with Him at any point? Will you be prepared? Will you prepare yourself now? Or will you allow yourself to continue to go into eternity unprepared to meet Him? For that is the person God calls a fool. Oh, may us not be foolish this morning. May God free us from any type of foolish thought, foolish ambition, or effort. May He fill us with His Spirit and allow us to fully complete His will for our life. For only then will we have true happiness and true joy and true fulfillment. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You, Father, for this wonderful church. Thank You so much for the hearts. I know of so many people that are here that truly desire You, truly seek to do Your will. Oh, but Father, many times during this mission conference week, we are given an opportunity to reevaluate ourselves. Oh, perhaps we have been not managing those resources in a proper manner. Perhaps we've had a little bit of a different worldly philosophy towards our possessions. Maybe we've even looked at our own children and say, God, You can have my possessions, but You can't have my children. Oh, God, help us to do Your will. Oh, God, help us never to be regarded as a fool in Your sight. In Jesus' name.